You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. I am thrilled to introduce you to Nabil. He has spent the past 15 years endeavoring to launch marketing campaigns that don't look like marketing campaigns. He is a creative director at the AND Partnership. That's that cool little ampersand thing, the thing you see in the middle of A&W, and an instructor at OCAD University. Nabil has helped develop innovative solutions across multiple media platforms for clients such as Canada Post. Shout out to them for being one of our sponsors of our show. TELUS, who actually powers our show. They are the internet that we use here at our headquarters. TD, Samsung, and Emeritus Airlines. He has been fortunate enough to sit in boardrooms across the world, from Chicago to Seoul to Dubai to Sydney. And that's not just Sydney, British Columbia, but probably Sydney, Australia he's referencing, and has received national and international recognition at award shows including Cannes, NYF, ADCCs, and the Effies. But it's not all glitz and glamour. He's also had to dress up in a chicken costume for a series of ads, but that's a story for another time. Nabil, thank you for being here.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to get right to Canada Post because I am a huge fan. Actually, before they even became a sponsor, I would subscribe to their magazine called Insight Magazine. And it was fun just even getting a magazine. And back in the olden days, I'm going to say, they used to do like kind of a large format. And some months it would actually like smell like chocolate. Some months it was like made of a wetsuit material. Were you involved in the Insight process back then, or when did you start with Canada Post?
So Canada Post, we've been lucky enough to work with them for the past 2 years and a half, nearly, I would say. I would say our role with the Insight magazine is very minimal. I would love to take credit or more credit for what they're doing with Insight, but it's really all them. It's funny. And, you know, I'm not just saying this because, you know, there are partners, but Insight Magazine really is one of, I think, the best marketing magazines in the country. Yes. It's funny, just because it's not out there, people don't maybe know enough about it, but it's a big source of inspiration for myself, for my teams, and for a lot of people that, that have read it and received one copy of it. It's just like, okay, when's the next copy coming? So, they're doing a phenomenal job of that.
It's really cool. And as far as actions, like when you think of Canada Post, what are some of the campaigns that you're proud of or you're excited about? And can you even allude to any things that are kind of coming down the pipeline from them?
So there's some stuff coming down the pipeline. I won't say much about it, but I will say that as an organization, they are really putting a lot of time and effort and energy into becoming a stronger, better version of themselves, and making sure that they provide the service and the amenities that Canadians really require and look for Canada Post to. So they're doing an immense job, and we're a small part of that, but we're really helping them sort of figure out how to communicate their messages and what they're doing to the country out into all the Canadians. So you asked about favorite campaigns. Yeah, we've done a couple of fun ones with them. We worked on a holiday campaign that some people may have seen last year, which was, we basically brought to life a couple of mailboxes and had them sort of sing this funny Christmas carol of sorts as they are waiting for the mailman to come, because all they want is basically more mail in their mailbox. And it was funny because we actually had multiple meetings where we would sit down and we had to give the different mailboxes personalities, right? So we had to give them personalities and voices and backgrounds. So it was a super fun project. And, you know, it came at one of the kind of tail end of that first year of the pandemic, when a lot of us, again, were going through a big roller coaster of dealing with the pandemic and in our personal lives and our professional lives. And it was sort of, if you remember, that time of year when we were kind of done with the seriousness of COVID and we needed some comic relief a little bit. So I think it was the perfect time for Canada Post to bring a little bit more joy to their messaging. It was a fun one. Definitely look out for it if you haven't seen it.
It's amazing. And for you, what do you love most about the job? And you're like, you know, I'll give you an example. Say we have students listening to the show right now. And if you could speak to a student, and in marketing today especially, it's such a huge umbrella where it's like you could go and become a media buyer, a digital ads manager, a social media manager. You could become an account manager. You could go into agency side. You could go brand side. What do you, in the role you play, maybe describe it for people, and what do you like, man? Maybe argue is like, you should join and become this specific role because this is what's so great about it.
Yeah, I'll tell you, you know what, I'll go a little bit back for this. And if I'm taking too long to answer you, just give me a heads up. But I'll tell you what got me into advertising at the beginning. So this goes back a million years ago to when I was in university. I was studying a BA, so business administration degree. And I was taking your regular slew of accounting, finance, economics, all those kind of courses. And, you know, nothing was really sort of stirring my soul. And actually, it was draining a lot of my joy. And then I took this elective, which was a marketing elective. And then it was sort of like, do you remember, I don't know if you remember the movie Pleasantville.
Yes,
but it was basically this the movie where it started off in black and white. And as the characters kind of gain enlightenment, the movie turned into color.
That's a great reference. Exactly, it's been so long. That's so cool.
Yeah, so that's exactly how I felt like taking my first marketing courses and my first advertising courses. It was just like, wow, there's another side to business. It doesn't all have to be the economics and the finance. There's a side where you can put in a lot of your personality, a lot of your love for music and the arts and design and messaging and communication. There's a part to play in that in the business world. And that's what I love about advertising specifically. I know advertising is a small part of the marketing pie, but in my sense, I just loved that. You know, it felt like you could be the most creative in an advertising role. Not to say that you can't be creative in other roles, of course, but you know, there's a reason why creatives are called creatives in advertising, because they're really exploring such a wide gamut of inspiration to bring forth a customer's message. So yeah, so going back to your question, why would people get into advertising? I think if you're interested in communication, if you're interested in music and design and architecture and messaging and psychology, I think, and the business of all that together, that really comes together with advertising. So that's what brought me into it. And yeah, that's why I still love it today.
It's amazing. So riddle me this question. Someone's like, hey, they show up to a job in marketing and they're a digital ads coordinator and they manage the ads, they review them, they analyze them, or they're a, you know, kind of an analysis, like they manage the Google Analytics and they get the reporting. But if you're a creative director, your job is to show up and come up with those like blue sky, out of the box, you know, kind of, you call it those shower moment ideas. So what does that look like practically? Because, you know, some people say, you know, the term genius, you know, we hear about genius bars that are in Apple stores now, right? But the root word of the word genius actually comes from the term meaning from the genie, because they believe that people were geniuses, felt that they were, you know, spirit infused or had these ideas that were inspired by the invisible. And so, again, we've since used it for more like intelligence, but really it comes from like those inspirational moments. So how do you nurture genius ideas using the root word of from the genie?
That's a great question, and it's big and it's loaded, and thankfully it doesn't only fall on the shoulders of the creatives. Thankfully an agency is comprised of a lot of people that really play the right roles to be able to bring forward creative solutions to client challenges. So I think, you know, a lot of maybe I'll get some flack for this, but a lot of creatives are sort of think that they should be the center of attention. They're kind of prima donnas. I'm the one that's coming up with the ideas, that you know, so on and so forth. But yeah, it's not, in my experience, that never works. That never works. It's a truly collaborative process. And I will tell you, a million times a day, someone from the strategy department or the account department or someone on our creative team says something that makes me think, wow, I would have never have thought of that. So it's really a team effort, and It is only when you have a tight team around you that you're going to get to great work. I can guarantee you, if you have an agency of people who aren't working together and you have one genius, that agency is not getting anywhere. It's really a team effort of everyone getting together. And right from the start, I would say, right from when we get a brief from a client and we figure out here is the challenge, here's the issue that client's trying to solve. And even from that step, from when the account and the strategy team are trying to figure out the problem itself and what are the human insights we can bring into this that's going to give us a fresh take on a creative solution. Like creativity actually within the department starts way before creatives even touch a brief, way before that. And I think that's one of the things that I love about the whole process. It starts with our clients who want to do breakthrough work. It starts with the account and the strategy team who are taking our client challenges and trying to simplify it and make it add an insightful human element, then to pass it on to your creative team who are taking all of that inspiration and that juice and formalizing it into a solution for the client. So it's really a team effort. It doesn't just rely on the creative departments. But I will say it's also, advertising and marketing is one of those, it can be extremely subjective, right? When we are talking about characters and music and design and art, it's extremely subjective. And you do need to bring a lot of your passion and yourself into a role and into the agency that you're working on. Because I've been in boardrooms where one person's voice have completely switched the entire boardroom table, and we head down a direction that we would have never head down just because of that one passionate voice. So I would say it's a team effort, but it requires passion for what you do and passion for your clients' products or services for sure.
So I get this Insight magazine, right? And what I like about it is that some people just say, oh, print is dead. And you hear those old terms or what's the point of Canada Post or mail? But like you read this magazine, you're like, wow, look what can be done with mail campaigns and mail mixed with activation, mixed with digital and all these inspirations. But do you ever read it and think like, why didn't I think of that, first of all? Or do you ever read it and think, oh, I thought of that. And I pitched it to my client a year ago and they said no. And look, this company won an award for it. So those two reactions, do you ever get those?
Oh, yeah, both. I
Both.
mean, I
Okay.
will tell you 100%. No, 100%.
Sorry. Not to bring up dark places, but what is that
Oh,
like
no,
for
bring
you?
it up. Bring it up. No, it's but yeah, both of those are true and exist together. I want to say every time I sit down and review sort of what's been happening in the advertising sphere in Toronto, but also around the world, I'm constantly like mentally smacking myself for not thinking about a certain campaign because it was right there on like my fingertips. And at the same time, there are moments where you pitch an idea, and for some reason, there are so many reasons that a campaign doesn't go through. It could be budgets, it could be it's not the right time, it could be maybe we just didn't sell it in the right way. So there are so many reasons for things not to happen, but definitely both of those exist,
Yeah.
100%.
And then with that, the other one being like when you get a great idea and you get inspired in that moment, what's that look like? What's that moment when you like maybe got an idea and you got to get it to the client and pitch it? And what's that kind of step-by-step process for people to understand?
Sure, like the process of
Maybe ideation, like you got an idea in the shower or you're going for a walk and this moment, this idea came to you, and then how do you get it like in writing or in a, the big boards like in Mad Men, and then you present it to the client and then they say yes or no, or what's that kind of process
Yeah,
like?
that's great. Yeah, so I will say, first of all, the ideas sometimes they do come from us as creatives. Sometimes they come from clients themselves. Sometimes they come from, I mean, we've been in places where a client has been so passionate about a certain challenge that they say, and they say something that's very personal to them, but it's like a sleight of phrase or something that we take and we put in the briefs for the creative department because it was just such a singular way of looking at it. So sometimes ideas come from clients. It's not always just us with the ideas or the accounts. But when an idea, I'll tell you that when I've landed on something exciting, I can't sit still, basically. I know because it happens. You could be actually sitting down trying to think of an idea. It could be you're on a walk. It could be your partner says something. But whenever that happens to me, I need to rush to a computer or a notebook and jot down like 2 pages of everything that comes to mind with that idea. And I feel very excited about it. Now, whether that excitement ends up leading to an actual good product or not is a whole other discussion. But that's how it starts when you know something is right. And sometimes it's just the impetus of something much bigger and better to come along. But, I would say it can come on a personal level. It can also come a lot of teams, as you might know that in advertising, traditionally and still till today, usually there are creative teams of 2 people, right? So an art director and a writer. And I think equally important is a strategist role in that. But usually it also happens through a discussion of just you're sitting down, you're just trying to figure out what the problem is, what the issue is, and an idea comes along. For me, the best way to create an environment of good ideas is to just be as silly and foolish and I would say like disruptive as possible. Like go after stuff that is offensive, stuff that doesn't make sense, stuff that you know you cannot do, because on the way to that stuff that sounds crazy, you're going to land to something great. And then when that happens, when we get just to take you through the entire process of A to Z, when we get to something that excites us as creatives, we obviously share with the strategy department, we share with the accounts department, and we have multiple huddles to make sure, is this meeting, is this truly meeting the client's expectations, and is it truly communicating what they want us to communicate? We have a bunch of huddles about that, and then the winning ideas get to go to client, and yeah, they're always fantastic meetings. And as much as agencies like to think that they know a brand, no one knows the brand like the clients themselves. No one understands it better than them. And a lot of times we go super excited with, say, 3 ideas, and then a client says something, and we're just like, you know what? Like, we can't even argue. You're right. Your brand sits so much more comfortably in these 2 other areas. So, yeah, again, I don't want to keep repeating it, but I think it's such a collaborative process from A to Z, but a super, super engaging and fun one.
No, that's awesome. And for you, like in kind of the day-to-day work that you do, like what's kind of the moments that gives you inspiration, or what's kind of a practical thing you do throughout the day that kind of keeps the juices flowing? Or is it like a meditation, a book you read, an exercise, or is it just, what does that look like?
Yeah, asking a creative where you get inspiration from is a tricky question, because it's sort of that also that job where you don't know where you get inspiration from, right? Like, you don't know what's going to lead you down a path to something interesting. But I'll tell you what I do. Obviously, I study wholeheartedly what other agencies, what other countries around the world are doing in advertising. It's so, and for me, I find interesting not just the end result. Like, I'm super hungry about the strategy that went into that idea. How was that idea pitched? What did you guys have to do to get through that idea? I almost love the making of an ad more than the ad itself. Like, I
Interesting.
love the end product,
You're
but
like the math teacher who says, "Show me how you got there. Don't just right." You
I'm
remember that in
That's
AI?
exactly it. Yes. That's exactly me. And I consume a lot of content that really kind of brings to light the strategy and everything that went into great work. Because it's funny when people look at great work, or even, I'm sure you've been in boardroom as well, where it's like a brand is like, I want to do what Apple is doing, or I want to do what this brand is doing. But you don't, it's hard to truly understand what it means to do something like Apple used to do it, or what it means to do something like these big brands do it, because it takes a lot of risk, it takes a lot of sacrifice, it takes a lot of way of looking at things differently. So for me, that process of how a communication comes together, I love. And I get that from I read a lot of this group out of the UK. They're called the APG, so the Account Planning Group. And what they do is they go to the biggest campaigns of the year, and they do a study of everything from A to Z, from the client's point of view, from the agency's point of view, of how a campaign came together. I think is phenomenal. Podcasts have made it so much easier, because there's so much work, or so many podcasts out there that are about advertising and also talk about the process, which is great as well,
Wild.
including this podcast that we're on currently, by the
Yeah.
way, to give you props.
No, it's amazing. A book came out, and I'm trying to remember the name of it. It was by the founders of Rethink. It might have just been creative or creativity, but it was a beautiful book, and it was a bit of kind of like what it's been like running an agency that does creative work. It was quite cool to see that. It was well designed too, which was a nice bonus. I'm sure they had lots of designers at their disposal. But an incredible book, quite inspiring and quite cool. But I love this idea. Like, it was kind of like the math teacher saying, "Show me your work." And this group out of the UK, so APG Group, you're saying.
APG Group is a fantastic resource. I find that that a lot of people might not be attuned to. There is a magazine also called Contagious Magazine, also out of the UK,
Okay.
which is, for me, it's like the top of the line magazine for advertising. They go
Wow.
just into such depth about the strategy of work. They interview every party involved. I think it's just phenomenal work. And then the best way, I tell a lot of students as well, is just to keep studying all the communication that's out there. Try to think of what the strategy is of the work of out there. Try to rewrite, go backwards. So, what was the brief to get to that work? So,
Wow.
for me, I find a lot of that stuff inspiring. And then, of course, like inspiration doesn't have to come from work itself. Like inspiration comes from outside of work. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story
Yeah,
about that.
please.
So, I've been into like freestyle battle rap for I want to say 20 years, and it's funny that
You freestyle rap.
no, I wish I did, but no, I would get demolished. No, I was just into freestyle rapping battles. So the way it happened on
Yeah,
streets,
you're
just
like, you're
hip
a
hop in
big
general.
fan. You appreciate it.
Big fan of
Okay,
it,
that's amazing.
yes. And
I grew up
so
a radio station, UBC, and BC had a radio station that would do it. I used to listen to it every morning because like Adam Mills from my hometown and Brian White were always on there, and you'd try to like you cheer for your hometown hero, right?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. So what I was trying to say is, like, I love that, and it's funny because just a couple of years ago, we got to do a freestyle, but a positive, a compliment battle for our client, for TELUS. So we did a positive freestyle battle, where freestyling is usually breaking people down. This was empowering people. So what I mean about that is, it's. I mean, that came from my passion of the hip hop world outside of advertising, and it made its way into advertising. So inspiration, obviously I look at architecture, I look at design. Music is a huge inspiration for me. Everything outside the world of advertising also makes its way somehow into your work.
That's amazing. What about, okay, the art and act of improv comedy or improv and nurturing that? I remember someone asking me once, like, how do I become good at marketing or creativity? It's like if you take an improv class, right? Because then it's like you learn how to think on your feet, move and flow with what's happening in the room. Have you seen that before? Would you encourage that?
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, public speaking still is the number one fear of so many people. And it's funny because now it's kind of easier to just hide behind Zoom and hide behind Teams and get away with that. And improv. I mean, we've had a lot of training sessions where they bring in comedians and they bring in improv teachers to just teach you more of. It's not really about the answer. It's just about how do you handle the unexpected in your day-to-day line of work, which is extremely important. You do get asked questions that you don't know the answers to, and it's okay to not know the answers to certain things. And you just need to figure out how do I get myself out of a sticky situation and turn it into something positive. So yeah, improv and public speaking is extremely important. And it's funny, I tell students at OCAD, even if you hate it, like just try to do as much as you. The only way you're going to get over it is by just doing a bunch of public speaking. So what I used to do with my classes is, every one of our classes, I would have students present in every single one of our classes. So I would select 5 to 10 students, and they would present every single one, just so that they can get comfortable with it. And 90% of the time, all of the students have become much better at speaking and handling conflict and challenges by the end of a class, which is fantastic. I think it's a super important skill to have.
No, that's incredible.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat,
mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And for you, as far as, kind of like next, the future, and like with all the changes in life and everything, like, does it affect your job at all being a creative? Like, you know, like the iOS changes or, you know, cookies and all of the kind of technical Google Analytics. I assume you stay the course because you've been around since Mad Men days, creative directors. You're not going anywhere.
I mean, I hope not. Let's just say I hope.
But as far as like whatever happens kind of in the weeds, let's call it, like in the kind of logistics of things, like that great concept, like I remember interviewing the guy who came up with the first WestJet Christmas idea, right? Like the Santa and everyone cried. It was kind of one of the first when Facebook really let things go viral. It did so well. But I remember him saying, I don't know if I can do it again. Like, he's like, every year he gets this incredible, immense pressure. But the ideation, right, those kind of like shower moments, robots can't do that.
No, thankfully not yet, at least. I'm sure Elon Musk is working on something, but yeah, not yet. But it is, yeah, I mean, I would say like every other job, there are a lot of challenges of being in the creative department or in advertising in general. And in the end, it's going to boil down to how passionate you are and how much you love what you do. If you are enjoying what you're doing on a day to day, if you are working with a team of people who enjoy what they do and they love what they do, it's a pleasure to go to work. And it's a pleasure to work with your clients and to figure out with your clients creative ways for them to get what they want to get across. So, you know, it is challenging, I will say. There is a lot of late nights. There are a lot of early mornings. There's sometimes a lot of weekend work. But it's never dragged me down because it's all been fun. It's all been super enjoyable. And to your earlier question of what, what is affecting, our industry and, you know, all the stuff that is happening with cookies or with AI or with all that stuff. Yeah, it does have an impact on advertising as well. It more has an impact on how our message comes across as opposed to what the message actually is, because whatever medium you use in the end to get it across, you need to have a refreshing, fresh perspective on something. So I would say as a creative and as an agency, you're less worried about those kind of movements, and you're more just thinking about bigger trends that are taking the world of advertising by storm. Yeah. Like, the biggest one I would say is, and obviously this is something that we're all attuned to, this isn't something you wouldn't have heard, but the most interesting one for us is how the fact that brands today have to do a lot more and say a lot less. And that's a very... Wow. You know, brands have always kind of known that, but the pandemic has really hyper accelerated that. During the pandemic, brands have realized they have to be authentic, they have to be transparent, but like above all, they have to show action. It's not anymore about what do we want to tell people, it's how do we want to help people. Yeah. And I think that shift is a monumental shift of thinking. And it's going to lead to really interesting work, and it's going to lead to better, you know, brands taking responsibility of the role they play in today's world. And we all know how powerful brands are. Yep. People are very attuned to the billions of dollars brands have, to the sway they have on governments and policy. It's like huge. We all know the power the brands have, and people are holding them you know, are requiring brands and expecting them to help solve problems that maybe some governments in some countries aren't able to solve. And I don't know if you remember, this was super interesting, or to me at least. During the pandemic, there was this website called didtheyhelp.com. Did you hear about that?
No.
Now, so there was this website that basically it was a crowdsourced website by volunteers in the US and Canada and around the world. And all you had to do was type in the name of a celebrity or an organization, say Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And it would show you exactly what they're doing to as a COVID response to help Black Lives Matter, the response to LGBTQ plus rights.
Wow.
So right away it showed, everything they did. So it's very interesting because these days if a brand is doing something incorrectly, they're going to get called out on it right away. And there was something else. Sorry, my passion is bubbling up now.
No, please,
you won't hear the end of this. But there was I don't know if you heard about the gender pay gap bot out of the UK.
I heard about on International Women's Day. Anyone who posts about International Women's Day, a thing responded and actually analyzed their staff pay, and that was incredible on International Women's Day. I was like, guys,
it's incredible.
I was like, I don't know if anyone realized that was going to happen, but it was a ton. You know what I noticed though, the trend is higher ed. So a lot of universities and college were especially called out. That was usually where the biggest discrepancies were.
Yeah, well, they did that because universities and colleges, all of the salaries of every professor is public knowledge. So it's easier to get the discrepancy between what males are getting paid versus what females are getting paid. But yeah, it was a phenomenal little bot. And it was funny to see brands go out there and say, you know, we are standing with women's, you know, on International Women's Day, we stand up for women's rights and so on. And then a bot will say, sure, but you have a 30% wage gap between.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's interesting because brands and companies are getting called out.
Yeah.
And so for me, this shift from, it's not about saying anything anymore, it's about doing and it's about action. And I think that's what, that's how the brands are really gonna become successful in the future.
It's incredible. And it's hard to hide anymore, anything.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
That's incredible. You ready for rapid fire?
I love it. Let's do it.
Let's do this. Thank you for sharing so much incredible stuff. What was your first ever job in life?
This is so funny, and I promise I'm not making this up. But my first ever job actually was working for a company called Aramex, which is basically the Canada Post of the Middle East way back when. So my first job was sorting mail. And it's funny because right now our partners are Canada Post. So that's really funny.
It's good. It was meant to be.
I guess so.
Amazing. Are you a night owl or an early bird?
I'm both depending on the week. So there's some nights where I'm up until 1 or 2 a.m. Trying to crack a brief. And there's some briefs where I need to be up and running like 3-4K before the day starts because there's so much happening.
That's awesome. Are you a cat or a dog person?
100% dog person. Okay.
What was the first thing that you ever marketed?
First thing that I ever marketed was a handheld mixer, like a kitchen mixer by Braun.
Amazing.
I don't know if you're familiar with that German product yet.
Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, dark or milk chocolate or the controversial white chocolate?
It's got to be milk chocolate.
Yeah. Nice. What is your?
It's got to be.
It's got to be perfect. Perfect. What is your favorite word right now?
Favorite word? I think coming out of COVID, I have to say empathy.
Empathy. Nice. What's the last charity you supported financially or with your time, and why?
I would say two charities. Sick Kids is always something that I have a huge heart for, just because they're doing incredible work for people that need it.
Yeah.
And another charity that we support and work with is called Until the Last Child. And they basically work with foster kids in Canada.
It's incredible. Incredible. What's a movie that you just love? You could watch over and over and over again.
The Blair Witch Project.
Wow. Okay. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. It was brilliant when it came out. And going back to what we were talking earlier, because I talk about it in at OCAD as well, funny enough, the way they marketed that movie.
Oh.
is a beautiful case study of communication. So I love everything about it from A to Z.
That is that's incredible. That's a first on this show here, so it's great.
A bit dark, but
no,
you know.
Yeah. No, I remember watching it before I went camping. Bad idea. Don't watch it before you go camping. otherwise, it was also famous because of how they filmed it. It was like handheld cameras. They just edited it. It was shot on iPhone type thing.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, I can talk for hours about it. There's also just the way that they, you know, the actors signed this lease where they basically disappeared when the movie launched. Yeah. So people actually couldn't find them and thought they were missing. And there's just a whole amount of things where they just made it feel so real that is just, that's just amazing.
Getting shivers from that, remembering. what's your favorite song or album on repeat right now?
I'm really eating up a lot of Anderson .Paak right now. He's so jovial and he's just so upbeat. And even if you just look at him, the dude always has a big smile on his face, and it's contagious.
Cool. If you weren't doing this job in another kind of multiverse world, what would you be doing with your life?
It would definitely be music. I'd probably be like a music producer or something to do with music.
Nice. What's an app on your phone you just can't live without?
I mean, I guess Spotify. I know that's an easy answer, but it's got to be Spotify for me. I'm always listening to music throughout the day.
No, that's awesome. And my brother used to make me mix CDs growing up, and so I feel like Spotify has replaced my brother because it makes me these mix playlists for me, and it knows me so well. And I'm like, oh, Spotify, you.
That's awesome. It really does. Yeah. The algorithm is phenomenal. Yeah. I used to have to spend so much time digging through blogs to find good music, and now it's just served to me. It's a phenomenal app.
Yeah, no, amazing. Favorite children's book?
Favorite children's book? That's a good question. I would say the name slips my mind. What is the Far Side? It's not a book, but maybe it's the comics. The Far Side comics.
They're incredible. They're genius.
They're so inspirational. Yeah. And I actually use it to also inspire me sometimes for just to get a different perspective. Because if you look at the skits it's just an amazing source of inspiration. Yeah. It's so funny. It's just, it's fantastic.
And the Far Side version of our industry, Mark Kunest. I don't know if you follow him, Tom Fishburne, but he put out a book as well. It was quite great. So he's like the Far Side of the ad industry. It's quite good.
Oh, that's amazing.
Best thing you ever bought for under $10.
Best thing I ever bought for under $10. It'd probably be like, I don't know, a pair of running socks.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's a great one. What's the most important thing you've ever changed your mind about?
I think I want to say everything. I want to say even things that I thought you will never change my mind on. Just a different perspective always just opens up how important having diversity at the table is. So I think that's kind of a non-answer, but it's got to be everything.
Oh, it's awesome. Genius. Business or marketing books that you'd recommend?
Business or marketing books? Okay, there are so many. I will say I love the D&AD copybook. So that it's a book that just kind of has some of the best ads out there, old copywriters, which is a big source of inspiration for me. Yeah. I mentioned Contagious Magazine. I think that's a big one. This is an old one, and most, I guess, advertising heads will know it, but Ogilvy on advertising, it's still a great book. And then Communication Arts is something that a lot of people in the ad world know about, but it's also an amazing publication that is that's very inspiring.
No, it's really cool. That's great. Podcast outside of this one that you'd recommend and that you listen to that you find helpful, or even just newsletters or websites that you go for inspiration?
No, podcast, there's a ton. There's I got like my Candleland for my independent journalism. Super important.
So good. Jesse and the team.
They're fantastic. They're huge props to them. And then you know, we talked a little bit about what goes behind the process of making something. There are two podcast called Song Exploder and the podcast called And the Writer Is. And what they do is they speak to the musicians or the band about how a song came to being from A to Z, basically. Yeah. How did you get inspired? How did the lyrics of the songs come about? So that I love. And one that I've been eating up is called Everything is Alive. And you being in the podcasting world, yeah, I think might like it. Basically, it's someone interviewing inanimate objects. So that might, they might interview a mug or a pillow or a lamppost. And it's just the writing is brilliant. If you're going to listen to an episode, listen to the lamppost episode. Okay. It's beautifully written. But that's, again, I just love the completely different perspective that that gives me and the different voice that gives to things. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. That is really cool. Life hack that you'd be willing to share?
Life hack. I would say don't be afraid to sort of break the rules. Yeah. And I, you know, I, obviously I don't mean doing something illegal or offensive, but I find, you know, don't be afraid to just think outside of the little play box that people are putting you in, because that always leads to something super interesting. Yeah. It's that voice that is going one way while the rest of the voices are going another way. That's the voice that I think people should follow. So yeah, follow your instincts, and there will be challenges along the way, and you will trip and fall, but yeah, don't be afraid to continue being brave in everything that you do.
It's amazing. This would be easy for you with working with students all the time, but what are the job skills required for this kind of new economy that we're living in, this new time? What do you look for when you hire new people, or you kind of inspire students to work on?
Yeah, I think for me, the number one thing that I look at is just passion for that industry. Someone who is passionate about advertising is going to be someone who studies a lot of ads, who's watched a lot of ads, who knows people behind the ads, the agency behind the ads. So having that one passion arms you with so many skill sets that you need. And, you know, I used to tell my students a lot of times that advertising, it's like you know what a great idea is, but you're all the way nowhere close to it. And year on year, your work is slowly getting up to the work that is being applauded on international circuits. So I think when you have passion for something, whether it's advertising or anything else in general, you're going to put your heart and your soul into it, and it's not going to feel like work. Mm. And that's the most important thing. When it doesn't feel like work, yeah, when it feels like something you love, you cannot match someone's passion for a role.
It's amazing. Well, thank you for joining us today. This was incredible, very inspiring. I have so much to think about. I love your moment about it's more about brands do than what they say, and how do you wrestle with that over the next year, especially as you put out creative and campaigns and marketing assets.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. This has been fantastic. You guys are doing an amazing job of everyone that you're showcasing. It's a ton of fun, and it's super inspiring to listen to everything you guys are doing. So keep up the amazing work. Yeah, super humbling to be on this. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much. We'll see everyone next time on the show. And don't forget to subscribe for free to Insight Magazine. They will ship it to your home, whatever home you're living in at the moment as of today, your Airbnb rental, your office maybe that you go to, your co-working space. But again, a really cool magazine full of inspiration, ideas. There's no ads in it, which is also really cool. And you know that all throughout it, you know, it might give you that kind of catalyst to think, again, of new ideas and creative. And really, maybe it'll also give you those moments of darkness of like, oh, I should have thought of that. Or I did think of that, but the client didn't listen, or my company didn't listen. But all that to say, they're great magazines to subscribe to. Link in the show notes to subscribe. And we'll see you next time on the show.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.